Welcome to the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin. Joining me is Amutz Asael, an Israeli commentator and most recently author of The Jewish March of Folly, a look at the political history of the Jewish people. Considering the subject of your book, looking at political history, we're obviously making political history as we speak, or we're watching it being made. It all seems to be breaking new ground. Why this new ground?
Micro-politically speaking, this is about brinkmanship, especially on the part of Avigdor Lieberman, who's trying to exploit the unique circumstances that this election created in order to position himself as a potential successor to Netanyahu, because he is smelling Netanyahu's blood and would like to succeed him. That's my reading of the micro-political situation we're witnessing. But the macro political processes at play here are, in my view, extremely alarming regardless of one's political colors, because what we're seeing here is potentially a hammering at the foundations of the Israeli political system in two ways. One is everyone is talking for weeks now, namely the way that Netanyahu is treating his legal situation in total disregard of the broader political situation. He's trying to tie the two, and that, in my view, compromises the legal foundations of the system. What Lieberman is now doing is a different type of threat to the Israeli democracy, because what he's doing might potentially lead us to an election within weeks of another election, something that never happened in this country and is extremely destabilizing, and is, in my view, speaking of my book, reminiscent of the way that our biblical forebears failed to keep together the federation of tribes that Moses built and they squandered. On the plus side, in all of Israel's 71 years of existence, whoever lost the elections accepted their defeat, even when the voters' verdict was painful. The loser always accepted their defeat. That was very healthy, democratically speaking. What we're witnessing now is a refusal to accept the voters' verdict, actually and paradoxically, on the part of the winners. The winners are the ones who are now threatening to lead us to this premature and completely unnecessary and unaffordable, politically unaffordable election. And they're doing this because each of them, whether as a person or as a party, are deluding themselves that they will improve their specific position in the aftermath of such a premature election. I first of all think that they might be wrong in terms of their personal or partisan calculations, but beyond these, in terms of the national calculation, such a premature election is a disaster.
You are listening to Amutz Asael, an Israeli commentator and most recently author of The Jewish March of Folly, a look at the political history of the Jewish people. Amutz, we've been speaking about the political side, but you did touch upon the legal problems of Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Netanyahu evidently tried to promote legislation that would affect his personal situation, regardless of the broader national need. This, I think, made many Israelis who, until recent weeks, were relatively or generally neutral concerning Netanyahu's legal situation, begin to wonder what exactly they're witnessing. There might be here the beginning of some serious popular groundswell demanding that Netanyahu separate his personal situation from the general political process. And ultimately, if indeed the hearing that has now been scheduled for October produces indictments against him, as most legal experts expect, then I think pressure will accelerate for him to step down, to step aside at least, until his legal situation has been treated. In terms of precedents, we have two. One is Yitzhak Rabin in 1977, when his wife, and by implication and indirectly, he too, as a co-owner of the bank account that she held illegally abroad, which at the time it was illegal, there was a felony at stake that he was at least indirectly involved in. He summarily and unequivocally resigned, not for one second doubted or questioned the judiciary's motivations or conduct. The same thing, albeit in a less pretty way, happened with Ehud Olmert. Ehud Olmert resigned even before he was indicted, just because of the revelations. And that's why in neither of those cases did we face what we now face.
Amos Asael, thank you for joining me at the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin.